Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey. Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast. I'm Harold Herring, and my fine wife Bev is still on a ministry trip. I vividly remember a day some time back when I asked someone if I could be of assistance to them in any way. And they matter-of-factly said, "No, I'm just killing time." Now, I've heard people use that expression dozens upon dozens of times in my life, and it never fazed me until that day. Frankly, I was stunned when they said that. That particular day, for some reason, it just jumped out at me. But I just smiled and bid them adieu. But then the Lord said to me, "He's doing more than killing time. He's murdering opportunities." I was taken aback. But that is such a powerful and profound thought. How do you kill time? Do you use a 9mm Glock or an AK-47? Is it something you can visualize? Does time suffer when you kill it? No. But you may, because the time you kill will never be available to you again. Why would a person kill time? Just for the record, some people would say passing time. Here's some keys. Number one, remember, time is your most valuable treasure. It's a stewardship issue. Your time is your life. If you waste your time, well, you're wasting your life. Alan Larkin, author of How to Get Control of Your Time and Your Life, said, "Time equals life. Therefore, waste your time and waste of your life. And master your time and you master your life." Make no mistake about it. Effective stewardship involves more than money. You will be called to account for the use of your time as well. Benjamin Franklin once said, "Lost time is never found again." Proverbs 10:27, the Living Bible. Reverence for God adds hours to each day. What you do with that time, it's your decision. You decide, not somebody else, not the passing of time on a clock. You decide what you'll do with every minute of every day that God's given you. Don't be discouraged by others. Nehemiah 6:9, New Living Translation. They were just trying to intimidate us, imagining they could discourage us and stop the work. So I continued to work with even greater determination. There's wisdom in that passage for each of us. Number two, the time you kill, you never get back. Jim Rohn, the motivational speaker and author, once said, "Time is our most valuable asset. You tend to waste it, kill it, and spend it rather than invest it." If there's one thing we shouldn't waste, it's time. The average life expectancy in the United States is 78.7 years, which equals 28,725 and a half day. The average life expectancy for a woman is 81, for a man, 76. And for the record, the United States ranks 26th in life expectancy in the world. Switzerland has the longest life expectancy with 82.8 years. Here's what I know. The day I turned 72, 33rd anniversary of 39th birthday, if I live the average life expectancy, I will have just under 4,000 days left in my stewardship. Now, having said that, I should point out that my dad will be 93 in May. That's nearly 17 years more than an average life expectancy. My father-in-law, Fred Clausen, lived to be 92. Well, that's more time as well. So I figure I got at least 10,000 days left. That's what I'm believing for. At least that. Now, the real question. Here's the real question. What are we doing with our time? If you kill 15 minutes a day, 7 days a week, that equals 451 minutes or 11.4 8-hour days a month, or more than 2 work weeks. Think about that. That's amazing. Ralph Waldo Emerson once said, "Only put off for tomorrow what you're willing to die having left undone." That's a profound quote. Number three, idle time is the devil's playground. Idle time causes some people to think things they shouldn't or do things they wouldn't otherwise do. 2 Thessalonians 3:11, Classic Amplified. "Indeed, we hear that some among you are disorderly, that they are passing their lives in idleness, neglectful of duty, being business with other people's affairs instead of their own, and doing no work." A lack of activity, a lack of focus, a lack of fixed objectives will inevitably lead a person to sin. 1 Timothy 5:13, Classic Amplified. "Moreover, as they go about from house to house, they learn to be idlers, and not only idlers, but gossips and busybodies, saying what they should not say, and talking of things they should not mention." Wow. There is a scripture, I think, that says it all. Proverbs 16:27, the Living Bible. Idle hands are the devil's workshop. Idle lips are his mouthpiece. Our lives are like a car idling in park. A person can gun the engine, so to speak, and make a lot of noise, but they're going nowhere and doing nothing but wasting time and opportunities. Number four, is what you're doing at the moment contributing to or furthering your destiny? I love bookstores. You know, for me, spending an hour or two exploring, praying over, and selecting books to read is a real investment of time. A focused person, one who's successful in whatever their hands find to do, will maximize the moments of what seems to be leisure time by thinking creatively about their future. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., whose birthday we celebrated earlier in the week, once said, "We must use time creatively and forever realize that time is always hope to do great things." That's a great quote. Number five, scheduled downtime is not killing time. Some people find it hard to rest, even for a day, let alone a weekend or a week, due to what they perceive to be the demands of their job or perhaps the financial stress they're facing. Proper rest fuels the creative nature within each of us. For instance, I woke up about 3:15 this morning. When I got up, started writing. Did that typically for several hours, and then I'll take a nap before getting ready for work or this call. No matter what battles you're facing, you need to rest your body and your mind. So take comfort in Exodus 14:14, Classic Amplified Bible. "The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace and remain at rest." The contemporary English version of that particular verse, 14:14, it says, "The Lord will fight for you, and you won't have to do a thing." When we know that the Lord is fighting our battles, it should release us to follow his instructions and rest. Number six, determine how to use your time. My advice on this key point is simply stop wasting time. Here are seven things to help you stop wasting time, which is your life. Number one, emails. Once and done. Read your email once and respond. Eliminate emails from organizations, political ministry, otherwise, that you will seldom, if ever, read. Now, if you read them, that's different. But you can really get inundated with it, particularly this political stuff. I think if you get on one list, they put you on all of them. And it's really, truthfully, kind of aggravating. Number two, remove temptation. Catalogs. Stop catalogs from coming into your home, especially if you have a problem with impulse shopping. Number three, surfing the right way. Reading things on the internet that will not increase your wisdom, income, or opportunities. Just stop it. If it's not increasing your wisdom, income, or opportunity to do the things God created you to do, you need to stop it. Number four, TV with a plan. And truthfully, internet with a plan. Unlimited or unplanned viewing, surfing, waste of time. Have a plan. We record everything we watch. That way we can fast forward through commercials. On the internet, there's certain things I do not do. Forgive me if I don't comment on the stuff you put in your social media feeds, but I just don't have the time or the luxury of that. Number five, now I do sometimes, so I'll admit that. Number five, think before you speak. Avoid longer telephone conversations than necessary when talking about unnecessary things. Number six, tame your texting. If the conversation's important, call. If not, allow your fingers to do something that is important. And number seven, drive time without a purpose. Learning, calling clients, all with a hands-free device. You need to do that. Listen to your pastor's sermon from last Sunday, or maybe one of the MP3s from our teachings. Listen, learn when you're driving. Number seven, spend your time looking for opportunities. American Heritage Dictionary defines opportunity as a favorable or advantageous circumstance or combination of circumstances. A favorable or suitable occasion or time. A chance for advancement or progress. Thomas Edison once said, opportunity is missed by most people because it's dressed in overalls and looks like work. There are way too many people looking for opportunities in the wrong places. They're waiting to win the lottery, publisher's clearinghouse, or some rich relative to pass away before they pursue with passion the thing that stirs in their spirit. Orson Martin, wonderful writer, once said, don't wait for extraordinary opportunities. Seize common occasions and make them great. Weak men wait for opportunities. Strong men make them. Wow. What a great quote. Ephesians 5:11, Classic Amplified Bible. Take no part in or have no fellowship with fruitless deeds and enterprises of darkness, but instead let your lives be so in contrast as to expose and reprove and convict them. Hallelujah. Can I give you a revelation? If the right opportunity was so easy to find, someone else would already have it, because they've been looking for it. You want to find opportunities? The best way to find the right one is to stop killing time. Think about it. Go to haroldherring.com. While you're there, check out this week's two-minute video. If you've been blessed by the teaching or the ministry, click the button that says sow a seed and ask God what seed he'd have you sow. Do what he says. That's all we ever ask. And until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails. And keep thinking rich thoughts.